Welcome everyone to Commissioner's Court today. Thank you for being here. And I'm going to ask as we begin, as we open our time with our invocation, if we would have Maris, if you would come and open for us. Let's all stand together and then we'll say our pledges. All right?
Thank you. Let's bow our heads.
Lord, we come before you today. We bring our heart, our mind, and our soul, and our body, and we thank you every day for life, and we thank you for the privileges you bestow upon us. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Our pledges?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Thank you.
Thank you all. You may be seated. As we move forward, let the record reflect that all are present. We do have a quorum. Do I have a motion to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda?
Move.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. At this time, we have a time for citizen comments. Let me just make a couple comments about that. There's two sections. We have a citizen's comments at the end for general topics that are not on the agenda. The first section of citizens is we give you 3 minutes to come, state your name, the item on the agenda that you would like to talk about. If you're going to approach the bench, we ask that you ask permission before you do so. And we'll move forward from there. But again, if you'll state your name and the item that is on the agenda that you'd like to chat about with us. Who will be first? Yes. Come on forward.
Greetings. My name is Garrett Jester. I'm here to talk about N1, which is the Veterans Treatment Court Grant Award and Veterans Assistance. I would like to have somebody bring something up to present to you.
Sure.
Yeah. Morning.
Proceed, Garrett.
Thank you. I'm here today to request that this be entered into record and that everyone here, I have many of these cards that were just given to yourselves, that each person can have one and everybody look at this because this affects veterans throughout the nation and it affects families throughout the nation. I am a veteran and I am homeless. Last year, the VA put me into a veteran homeless transition shelter run by a nonprofit organization, and we were abused there. I have evidence that shows that abuses have gone on at this facility for over 20 years. Countless veterans have been abused, have relapsed into drugs, and worse, been physically abused, sexually abused. And there are some that I can't find anymore, so I don't know whatever happened to them. I'm asking that this be put into the record and that each and every person here in this room take a moment in time to look at the QR code on the back of this card and look at the evidence. I have much more evidence in hand in a pen drive. I have videos, photos, other veteran statements. I have conversations with the VA and with this nonprofit that has done the abuse, confirming that all these abuses have existed, do exist, and are not just relegated to here, but are done throughout the United States. All I'm asking is for a moment in time for each person who says that they support veterans and that they support Americans, because all of us that are there are Americans, and that they help stop this from happening. This has been going on for over 20 years. My brothers and sisters do not deserve this. The past, the present, nor the future. Everyone here, when your family members, when your children join the military, they will become my brothers and my sisters. They will one day become veterans. We cannot allow them to suffer the same things that myself and those that came before me have suffered. I don't know what more to say. All I ask is that you look, that, and then you do the right thing.
Thank you, Garrett. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else who'd like to make a comment on a particular item on the either the consent or open agenda? All right. If there is none, then let's move forward with proclamations, resolutions, and presentations. Presentation of Employee of the Month. Employee of the Month. Okay. Not present, I'm assuming. Let's move forward then. A proclamation declaring May 2022 Elder Abuse Prevention Month in Montgomery County. I received this from Adult Protective Services. And what it is, it's the, and we want to acknowledge here that the Elder Abuse Prevention Program, and it's with the people from the state of Texas, the Texas Adult Protective Services, just like the Texas Child Protective Services. So I would just like to read some of the items that have to do with this. Whereas older adults and people with disabilities and diverse backgrounds contribute to the well-being of the city by working, caregiving, volunteering, actively preserving customs, rituals, and traditions. And whereas we age, we build momentum by accumulating knowledge, experience, insight, and wisdom that can be shared to enrich our community. And whereas abuse of older adults and people with disabilities in a community concern affecting thousands of people across Texas, and whereas abuse affected more than 118,208 older adults and people with disabilities in Texas in 2021, whereas abuse against older adults and people with disabilities is grossly underreported because of social stigma, embarrassment, and fear, and whereas adult abuse affects men and women of all income and ability levels, all cultural, ethnic backgrounds, and all communities, and whereas elder abuse is everyone's business, it is important to strengthen our efforts to prevent, report, and address elder abuse. Now, therefore, I, Mark Keogh, County Judge, Montgomery County, in recognition thereof, do hereby proclaim the month of June 2022 to be Elder Abuse Awareness Month in Montgomery County, Texas, and urge all of our citizens to work together now and into the future to reduce abuse and neglect of older adults with people with disabilities. Do I have a motion to approve this resolution?
Move.
Have I'll a second.
Second? I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So be it. Thank you. All right. Next. Consider and approve a resolution and order supporting preservation of natural habitats. Who will be presenting that to us?
That's me.
Oh, Commissioner Riley, proceed.
That's me. I would like to get the support of the court on this resolution for a 6,000-acre conservancy over in Precinct 2 off of 149. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read this resolution. Mm-hmm. Whereas in 1990, the George Mitchell family began a long-term habitat preservation project at Cook's Branch, the family's 6,000-acre preserve in the Piney Woods of East Texas called Cook's Branch Conservancy. And whereas the conservancy promotes conservation ethics and demonstrates the resilience of nature in perpetuity, and whereas the conservancy acts as a field laboratory for the study of such things as carbon flux, drought, ecosystem transition, biodiversity, and the effects of fire, and whereas the conservancy utilizes tools such as restoration timber harvest, prescribed burning, mechanical and chemical mid-story control, invasive species eradication, and replanting in various combinations to meet specific habitat goals. And whereas in 2012, the Conservancy was bestowed the Leopold Award, Texas' highest award for habitat management and wildlife conservation on private land. Whereas the Conservancy is a steward of Texas and Montgomery County history with a number of cultural sites registered with the Texas Historical Commission, including the restored 1890 Dog Trot Home, a Kirby kiln, an 1860s pottery factory listed with the National Park Service in the National Register of Historic Places, an east-west wagon trace, which likely served the kiln, the Collier Cemetery, which was likely part of the early 1800s farming community, centered on a nearby church and school, and the likely presence of prehistoric mounds and burial sites for the Acoxia and Bedi tribes. Whereas population growth and the call for new roadways has caused concern for the conservancy might be impacted by future transportation plans. Whereas the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County desires to memorialize its commitment to not construct roads in and through the Cooks Branch Conservancy to preserve the natural habitat as intended by the Cynthia and George Mitchell Foundation. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County, Texas, that Montgomery County, Texas, remains committed to not constructing roadways in and through the Cooks Branch Conservancy to preserve the natural habitat as intended by Cynthia and George Mitchell Foundation. And I move.
Second. Thank you, Commissioner. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate
Real quick,
that.
If I could, I'd like to introduce Sarah Mitchell. She's here with us from the in the back, and she's got some guests with her. If you just... Oh, yeah. Y'all come on. We'll get a picture real quick. Sarah, introduce who, when you get up here, Sarah, introduce who you got with you, if you don't mind. More than welcome. More than welcome.
That's awesome.
Go ahead. Just introduce the folks.
I have Sheridan. Thank you.
You bet.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Tell us, Bruce, how to do this.
Y'all could just the commissioner's revenge just a little bit. Get everybody to smile. It's a great occasion. One more. One more. Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Thank y'all. Congratulations.
You're welcome. Thank y'all very much.
Officer Fisher. Thank you. All right, as we move forward, if we could just take a step back for a moment. Judge Turner, you have something for us. If you would come to the dais, please, and tell us what's going on.
All right, yes. That's fine. I'll let you take the lead, and then we'll go from here.
Okay. Thank you.
Proceed.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. I'm so sorry. I apologize. This morning, we are here to present our June Employee of the Month. Today, they're going to receive a plaque and a $25 gift certificate from Joe's Italian. And right now, I'm going to have Judge Marianne Turner with County Court at Law Number 4 present our June Employee of the Month.
All right. Speak right in the microphone, Judge.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you. This is our 20th year as having County Court at Law Number 4, and I will be retiring this year together with our Employee of the Month, Teresa Pringle, who has been with our court from the beginning of time. I have known her for 40 years. She has worked with Montgomery County for 25 years. So... I am so blessed to have had the opportunity to have had such a loyal, hardworking, trusting person as my department head. And I am so very proud of her. And come on up, Teresa. I give you a big hand. Here is your plaque. Okay. So we would like a picture. We have some of our staff here. Come on up, if we could. I don't know if you do
sure.
that regularly, but would like to have that opportunity. Okay. Do we come there?
Or yeah, why don't you come over here? We'll all stand behind you. That'd be great. Thank you. You betcha.
Congratulations.
Thank you, ladies.
I get it, though.
Thank you. All right. Let's move forward. Texas A&M is with us today. Come on up, guys. AgriLife. Share with us.
Judge Kehoe, Commissioners, it's certainly a pleasure to be here today. Again, it's been a little while, but I'll reintroduce myself. Texas A&M AgriLife Extension District Administrator Eric Zimmerman, and it's certainly a pleasure to come before you today. As you know, Amy Ressler assumed a leadership role within our agency as the County Extension Director in Fort Bend County, and so we added her to our Southeast Region leadership team that helps serve not only District 9, which is where we are in Montgomery County, but also the Coastal Bend area out of Corpus as well.
I tried to talk her out of it. She had to go.
Well, you know, it's one of those deals to where, you know, when you find good ones, you want to put them in the right position.
Sure.
Certainly, we're going to miss her here, but we've got her in a great role there in leading that team in Fort Bend County down in Rosenberg. With that said, as soon as we had that vacancy on February the 1st, we felt as an agency it was a priority to fill this position as a family community health agent in Montgomery County. We've got a great team here. You know, there's a lot of diversity within the county. There's in terms of what our agents and our program assistants serve, not only in the 4-H program, but also family community health, ag and natural resources, horticulture, the Better Living for Texans program with the SNAP Ed education, and of course we've got an assistant agent and a training mode as well to hopefully move on as after 18 months. With that said, though, we've got a finalist that we are presenting to you, the court, today. Many people know her. She's been here before. She's got certainly a wealth of experience. Ms. Caroline Cruz is our proposed finalist. She's a graduate of Sam Houston State University. And what's most interesting is she's been in education her whole life, maybe not in a traditional classroom setting, but certainly in the non-traditional settings, what we call AgriLife Extension. She served Montgomery County as the urban youth agent for 10 years. And at that time, had grown the 4-H program with the assistance from the 4-H agent to over 1,100 4-H members alone. I'm glad to say right now, you know, post-COVID, we're in the rebuilding mode of getting kids involved, and I will let you know that Montgomery County is one of the top three programs in this entire state of Texas in terms of our 4-H and youth development program. So that's an outstanding tribute to all of our staff here as well. Caroline's going to add to that team. She's got the experience. Most recently, she's been an education coordinator with Texas A&M Forest Service. She actually left Extension in our agency to move over into the Forest Service, but certainly it was one of those things where we tried to reel her back into our agency, and we did so. And so we're glad to have her. Very, very, very excited to have a complete staff, and of course, her focusing on mental health, diabetes education, those kind of things, and as well as supporting the entire staff with our youth development program. So it's my pleasure to present Ms. Caroline Cruz as our finalist.
Caroline, thank you. Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Judge, Commissioners. I'm excited to serve the citizens of Montgomery County. I live and work here, so as you just heard and you already know, this is a great extension team here in the county, so I am ready to go, and thank you so much.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. Congratulations. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Corp. And if y'all don't mind, we're going to get our agents back to what their regular duties are.
That's fine.
And so we're going to excuse ourselves.
We
thank y'all.
Totally. Appreciate y'all coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Presentation of the 2022 Montgomery County Employee Committee Scholarships. Who will be presenting today? Yes.
Good morning again. Again, I apologize for earlier.
No worries.
So today we're here to present our 2022 scholarship winners. We had 12 applicants altogether, and as much as we would like to be able to award all of the applicants with a scholarship, we were only able to issue six. Through fundraising efforts of the Employees Committee, we were able to give out two $1,000 and four $500 scholarships. Three employees and three dependents of employees have been selected. So right now, when I call your name, if you could please come forward to accept your certificate and stay for a picture with the judge and commissioners, please. Our $1,000 employee winner is Gracie Doan. However, she is not here today, but I do have someone come in to pick up her certificate, if you could step forward. Gracie is attending Lone Star College with her major in criminal justice, with her specific goal towards victim assistance program and legal assistant. Our next employee winner is Stephanie Lee, is a $500 winner. She is the detective at Montgomery County Sheriff's Office in the Criminal Investigation Division. She is attending Sam Houston State University with a major in criminal justice, specific to victim studies. When I call your name, if y'all can come up to the front, please. Next, we have employee Mason Zunker for a $500 scholarship. He is Montgomery County Sheriff's Office dispatcher. In front of there. He is attending Sam Houston State University. This is his last year, and he's majoring in criminal justice and business with his main focus on cybersecurity within the criminal justice system. Okay, next, our dependents, Mackenzie Miller. She is not here today, however, her father is here. He is Matthew Miller from the Juvenile Probation Department. She is attending University of Oklahoma, majoring in commercial airline pilot, specific to aviation management and pro flying.
Wow. Very good.
Our next dependent is Zachary Rogers, who is a $500 recipient. He is not here today as well, but his father, Chris Rogers, who is the Constable Precinct 1 office, will be here to claim his certificate. Currently, he is at school as a walk-on football player, so that is the reason why he is not able to be here. He is attending Texas A&M University, majoring in business management, specific to owning his own business and becoming a police officer like his dad.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's awesome.
And then we have Ethan Brumberger, $500. He's the child of Mark Brumberger from the county attorney's office. They are not present today. He is attending Texas A&M University, majoring in mechanical engineering, specifically designing robotic systems used either for space exploration or to improve people's lives, such as surgical robots. So congratulations to all of these winners. They are very well deserving of them. Thank you.
Thank you all. Congratulations.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you all. Let's move on to item 9, County Clerk. Consider and approve Commissioner Court's minutes from regular session, June 14th, 2022. Do I have a motion to accept the minutes?
Move.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you so much. Consent agenda. Are there any changes or amendments that you guys would like to make to the consent?
Yes. Okay. I'd like to move 10H1 on page 6. And 10L1 on page 7 to open.
Okay, hold on just a second here.
H1, page 6, L1, page 7. And if those are the only changes, I move with those changes.
Are there any other changes? If there are none, let's move forward. All in favor?
Aye.
With amendments. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right.
Did you get a second? Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure which one it was, but it's quiet. It was Charlie.
Sorry, the county clerk had a question. Robert Walker.
All right, let's move forward. This one here, Commissioner, you brought this up, is H1, consider and approve Fourth Amendment to lease agreement between Montgomery County and Conroe Symphony Orchestra. The amendment will reduce rent payments through December 31st, 2023. What that is the people, you know, as you know, is not supported by Conroe. We rent them a facility. It's a volunteer organization. And they came to us because of COVID and have had a very, very tough time and asked us, Mrs. Spikes came and asked us if we could reduce that for the rest of this year and through 23 and then take it back to the regular figure, which is what it would be at in 24. So what we have here, and it's a reduction, of it's typically $1,200. They want it to be reduced to $400 a month times 18 represents $14,400 of unrealized rent, but then at the end of that period would go back, and I felt like it's in the best interest of us here in the court and the local community to move forward on this. And so I would ask for a motion in favor.
I just have a comment. As far as the reduction in fee, that's not why I pulled this to open.
Oh, okay.
The reason why I pulled it to open is this court in the past has had conversations regarding the county utilizing that building going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure that we will, that going through December 31st of 2023 is really an option. And one of the, we have, as a court, have had this. Are you on the board of this group?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Somebody had mentioned that you might have been, and I was like,
no.
I didn't think you were. So I just wanted to put that out for the record.
No, I got you. I got
but,
you. Yeah.
So, and I think some of the other commissioners may have something.
Well, I think the same thing. I mean, I'm in full agreement dropping the to that for them and giving them till, and maybe look at an option for us in 24, you know, possibly if the court decided to do something with that building,
or even before if we need to.
Yeah, we'd still give them some warning. So to look for
it before would
be the deal.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, my recollection from not this amendment but the previous amendment is there is a 6-month early termination provision. So the county has the right to terminate the lease early if we give them, I think, a 6 months notice. So that's already built into the lease that we do have flexibility there. So regardless if it goes through 2023 or whenever, we do have that early termination provision.
And as we've talked, we've got several, you know, different areas that we, departments that we're looking to move in.
Sure.
One
would
be instead of moving IT all the way to the old elections building,
right,
would be to put them over there so they can still be downtown.
Sure, sure.
They're close. It would be a satisfying need. And as you know, with the county growing as fast as we are going to need that space.
Yeah.
So if anyone is here from the Symphony, I think they should be thinking ahead about finding another place. So use this opportunity of rent reduction to, you know, fundraise,
I think we made it pretty clear the last time we talked about this that we were wanting to get the building back.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they need to understand.
I think we need to be working on getting the building back.
Yeah, and if you guys will let me, since I did talk to Mrs. Spikes, I'll get back with her and mention that to her of what our intentions are, and then we would give them a 6-month notice according to the contract.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right?
Sure.
So we have, thank you, Commissioner. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Let's move forward to the next one, L1, page 7, Commissioner.
Yes, sir. Is anyone from the Constable 2's office here? So, Judge, without them being here, I'd like to defer this item. I had some questions about.
Tell me which one. It's L1 down at the bottom of the high water rescue truck you're talking about? Okay, we can defer that if you would like to do that.
You won't be able to answer it because it's specific to the number 2.
You would like to defer that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go ahead and defer that. All right. If there are no more, we have the motion to accept with these amendments that we've just made. Now let's move on to our open agenda. And the first item on the agenda is a 9th District Court. Judge, come on up and share with us.
Good morning, Commissioners. I appreciate you taking the time to hear my proposal. I'm asking that you consider and approve increasing position 83102181, Court Coordinator 1, by a total of $5,886.40 for an annualized salary to be $61,526.40. The remainder of fiscal year 2022 will be paid from office supplies. Total needed for the remainder of the year with benefits is $1,632.66. If approved, there will be a fiscal impact in fiscal year 23 budget of $7,074.86, authorized budget office to effectuate all necessary changes. First off, I want to make sure you all know that I am not in any way being critical of any other judges coming here and asking for pay for their employees. I think as a manager, I've always tried to get as much money in my people's pockets as I can, especially during these difficult times. Ms. Stephanie Lewis has been my court coordinator since I took office in 2016. She does an exceptional job. I pulled some data for you, and it should be in front of you. She has actually been underpaid in relation to her peers and her experience level and time in the county since fiscal year 2019. I know that you prefer that we not come mid-year. There are some needs that I think need to be, that have caused me to need to come before you at this time. I'm offering up supply budget. We can be conservative for the remainder of the year. I know that's not what everybody likes to do. So if there's an alternative funding source that would make this more palatable, obviously I'm open to that. I did pull a chart. I mean, she is the second most senior court coordinator in that position. And as I said, she's been underpaid in relation with her peers since the fiscal year 2019 budget. So I think it's important for me to be here and advocate for her at this time, and I'm asking that you improve this increase.
The remainder of the year is 1632.66, is that correct? That's
correct, sir.
All right. We have a motion to that effect.
Well, number one, thank you for coming, and I told you I wouldn't give you too hard of a time. When the court has taken, used its authority to grant this type of request to other judges, it does exactly what you're demonstrating today, is there's a ripple effect. And so we had the 221st come in, ask for this. It passed by some margin. I know I voted against it. And then your court coordinator sitting there seeing that, and it puts you in a position of, hey, maybe I should work with old Mike Chalk. She'll fight for me. And then you got to say, no, I'll fight for you too. The problem is the mid-year raise, and more importantly with yours is the supply request.
Sure.
So,
and can I say a couple things about that? Number one, my staff has been consistent since I started office. So there's no money in my salary budget because there's no personnel changeover for me to make it to go from that particular line item. But the second thing is, I will say, I'm 100% in support of a salary schedule that is clear and transparent, that assigns the same pay rate for people in the same positions across the courthouse, that reflects seniority with the county and in that position. It makes it easier for all of us judges. I know it would make it easier for y'all because you wouldn't have us coming in these kind of circumstances. So I think there was some big support there for a salary structure that's clear and transparent and consistent across all of the courts, and I think all of the judges, I'm not the spokesman for the judges, I probably shouldn't say that, but I think we're all in agreement that that's a good idea, and I know it's coming. I just think given the certain particular circumstances that my employee, now is the right time to come before you and ask for this.
I appreciate it, and I was just gonna finish up real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
My thought is that if the court says no to this, it puts the court in bad light to say yes to one judge and no to another for the same request. However, I still plan on voting no. I voted no the first time and told Judge Mychalk it's nothing personal.
I told you I wouldn't give you grief about saying no.
Exactly. But the issue is, if I actually think the court should end up approving this, but they need to do so not utilizing supply funds because that really opens Pandora's box.
Can I pay for that out of my?
You certainly can, Commissioner. I appreciate that.
Beat me to it.
I move.
I'd love to do that for you.
Absolutely.
That way you don't have to.
I very much appreciate that, sir.
Absolutely.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
I'll say.
Using the funds from Commissioner Walker. And concerning what I think that Commissioner Nowak has been consistent, we've all been consistent in this whole issue. You and I have talked about this a little bit. We're still waiting on a salary survey that's coming back. If it's right around the corner, if not possibly even already here. And as others have come to us, we've said, if you could hold out on with us until the budget, we'll work with you. We want to look at that salary survey, and that's what's most fair. And on this one, Judge, although I can certainly understand the situation, I would have to go with Commissioner Nowak on this as well because of just to be consistent with the rest. So.
Sure.
We do have a motion and a second, and we do have a means to pay for it. So is there any more discussion?
Just you guys remember last year we brought a presentation that we had vetted through the courts at budget time. This fits kind of within what we were talking about before with what, he's not asking for a crazy amount related to what we were recommending HR
right.
and us.
I went with her number from her matrix.
And yeah. Amanda, I'd like to help get that done before the budget hearings. So working with the judges to come up with the schedule.
Yeah, that way we know where we stand in this whole deal.
We can all agree on.
So we go
good
into
for
it. Good. All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed.
Opposed.
Thank you all. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Judge. Appreciate you coming. All right. Let's move forward to our next item. The county judge, Jason, if you would come and present this first item. Item B, we're going to defer at this time, but item A, we're going to address. So, Jason, if you would, please.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. 12A is consider and discuss and approve an agreement between Montgomery County and Children's Safe Harbor regarding behavioral health services. This agreement will provide funding from ARPA to enhance behavioral health services provided by Children's Safe Harbor due to the mental health crisis as a result of COVID-19. This is, as you know, Children's Safe Harbor provides a service to our youth here in the community, counseling services as well as forensic services as they've been abused or tormented. That the number of cases they've seen has gone substantially up due to COVID, and this would just be a one-time infusion of funds from ARPA to help with the mental health crisis that they're seeing with these children, and take care of adding additional counselors to their staff and whatever else they would need to basically get through this caseload.
Did we already discuss this once?
It was discussed many months ago when we made the presentation to the ARPA committee. It's just taken a little bit of time to get the contract and everything out of the county attorney's office and get it ratified by the Children's Safe Harbor for it to be up for approval.
This isn't an additional.
No, this will be the first time we've done anything.
We talked about months
Correct.
Ago getting
yeah.
it done.
Yeah, originally we were discussing putting it on consent, but because of the amount, we kept it on the open since it's been 3 months since we last talked about it. So.
Understand.
All right. Do we have a motion to approve? We have a motion.
Second.
Motion, Commissioner Nowak, second. Any more discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Budget. Amanda.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. The first item I have today is going to be extending the human trafficking, DWI, and border security funds until originally that was scheduled to expire July 13th. We're asking to extend that from till December 31st of this year. That's going to help the DA's office work a couple of cases that they have, along with we were out reallocating some of the DA's money that he had. If you remember, he had a little bit, him and the sheriff's office had a little bit more than the other constables. He'd like to reallocate some of that money to the sheriff and to three of the constables. And so that's what this budget amendment, so we're asking for an extension and you guys to approve that
the
budget.
The money's coming from internal departments working together.
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
Great.
Part of the million that got.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But three constables.
Right.
It's Constable 3, 4, and 5. Constable 1 still had 91,000, so they still have quite a bit of their funds left. And then Constable 2 just didn't make this round.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you so much.
I'm going to present the next two items as well.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, so for Justice of the Precinct 4, it's consider and approve closing position 8540-2373 and opening a position 7400-5523. This is transferring a position from the Justice of the Peace Precinct 4's office to Constable Precinct 4's office. It's going to be the same employee doing both positions, or the old position and the new position. No, it's just a transfer for that employee along with it satisfies the budget needs that Constable Precinct 4 had as part of their FY23, and I think they've kind of coordinated this effort together and made it happen, and so there's no additional funding needed. You guys just need to authorize me to make the changes.
And Precinct 4, JP will not be coming and asking
That's
for
correct.
Another position anytime soon.
That's correct.
I'll move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
And then 15A, I'm presenting on behalf of OCA. They are not available this morning. Consider and approve the office build-out and window install project for County Court at Law 6. Building maintenance has estimated a cost of $5,389. Please name a funding source. I did get an email from Judge Valdez this morning, and it is basically just to do some minor work, basically inserting a bulletproof glass window and connecting part of the foyer to the main CCL office. And that, again, is estimated to be $5,389.
Commissioners, as part of the move, I worked with the judges to get the offices situated. This is pretty nominal and something that part of it
Plus
really needs
got
to
the
happen.
Resources.
It's got to happen. I do want to ask you a question regarding fees and different accounts. If you could, when you either present the budget or next time an issue like this comes back, I would like to get a report, and Rakesh could probably help, and the district clerk and the district, county clerk, district clerk, on fees that the judges can charge, and then any standing orders that may exist, waiving fees, any fees that are routinely waived, because part of the reason these fees are in place is so those that are putting a burden on the county and on the courts themselves are defraying some of the costs for this. And a couple of examples would be the Courthouse Technology Fund, the Courthouse
Security
Fund, and then there's a new Courthouse Facilities Fund.
Quite a few. And then there's Court Guardianship. There's a few others as well.
And so we need to make sure that we're collecting those as much as possible. I understand for an indigent case, we don't have the choice to collect them, but in most other circumstances, I'd like to make sure they're charged.
Will do.
All right.
And I second Commissioner.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
You need a funding source on that. Are you guys okay with pulling it? Okay.
All right, commissioners. Let's move on to Precinct 4.
How funded? What's contingency look like?
I think it had, I'm about to true it up again, and I think it'll have about $430,000.
Okay.
Well, just pulled a bunch for fuel.
Okay. Well, the contingency work for you guys?
Yes, sir.
That works for me.
Okay. Thanks. All right, let's move on. Item number 16, Precinct 4. BD.
Yes, I think Commissioner Matthews, you want me to take this for you?
If you don't mind, please.
Yes. Excuse me. Item 16A is to consider and take appropriate action on an application for tax abatement by Hughes Steel America, Inc. This was noticed back in May, so we satisfied the 30-day notice. It's an application for a tax abatement to for the construction operation of approximately 253,000 square foot manufacturing warehouse facility. It's going to be constructed in two phases on some acreage near Splendora. It's for the manufacture of oil country tubular goods. The estimated cost of the improvements is $38 million on the structure itself and new structure improvements, and $84 million in their actual production machinery, which would be fixed personal property. So that's the amount that's the appraised value on which would be abated. In this instance, they have previously purchased the property in 2019. I believe it's September of 2019. And especially in that, we're not abating any of the real property. It'll be an improvements-only abatement if it's granted, assuming it's granted, to where, the real property can, any increases in the value of real property aren't going to be limited to the base year, though. We will get the increases in the real property plus there's not a whole lot of other business personal property that would be taxable. So it's really the real property would continue to be taxable as well as any increase in the real property. The structure and the manufacturing would be abated. The current appraised value on the property, I believe, is $1.2 million approximately. Not only it will create 101 new jobs, and I believe it's, again, in the Splendora area, of Montgomery County. They worked with MCID in order to present this. We do have several representatives from Hughes Steel here. If you have any questions or if you might, they're over here, Mr. Kim and Mr. Lee, Mr. Kim and Mr. Lee. And so what they are qualified for a C, which is up to a 10-year 100% abatement. So is court's discretion as to
what's the total amount of the infrastructure they're going to build? I mean, you've
38 million in actual building, and then 84 million of manufacturing of machinery, fixed personal property. So it's about $110 million of additional tax. That will, structures and fixed personal property that will be abated.
So they already own the land?
They own the land. They purchased it in September of 2019.
And is this the same company that may be in close proximity to one of their strategic partners as well? This
I believe, yes. I believe, and they can address it if you like, but I believe close to this this proposed facility is a facility they would be working. They manufacture the pipe, and then there's a threading facility separately. I believe that's been in Spindle Area for quite a while.
Mr. Garcia has been a wonderful neighbor to work with in the community, and certainly community-oriented. I met with these folks recently. This is a company that's not leaving America and going overseas. They're coming here to be a part and to put jobs here, around 100 jobs and investment. And I very much enjoyed the meeting with them, and I think they're committed to doing what they say. As the gentleman, as I just said, Mr. Garcia, that they'll be working with, has certainly been a good neighbor, and I think it's only fair that, like my dad once said, I want to be a good neighbor, but I need you to be one too. And Mr. Garcia has, and I don't see any reason to believe that these folks won't be a good neighbor over there as well. And it's some difficult times, and taxes is kind of a hot topic and a hot button issue maybe, but I believe in the long term that this is justified. We like nice things, as I say, in East Montgomery County, too, and this will be certainly helpful to the Splendor area there and the Splendor School District. And so I'm going to be supporting this today.
They have identified two alternative sites. If, you know, if the tax abatement is not granted, they have identified two alternative sites as potentially McAllen, Texas, and Villa Florida in Reynosa, Mexico.
You know, the way I look at this, guys, is that we know there are alternative sites, but there are very few places that are like Montgomery County. We are pro-business. We're pro all the things that make Texas great. And to me, as I think about this, you know, we just have put before the people a 35% increase in property tax. And the optics, to me, of as much as we are pro-small business, as much as we are pro-jobs, we want all these things. I would hope that the company would see the benefits of being here in this environment with our tax structure as it is. And I'm gonna have a hard time voting in favor of this just because of what it does for the people. The people are taking it in the chin here on our property tax, and then we're turning around and giving this kind of a multi-million-dollar rebate for a 10-year period. If there's maybe some option, we can relook at this, something that is not to that extent, maybe to revisit it at that level, but in terms of as it is, I'd have to vote against this.
Well, clearly, you know, you don't have an agreement unless and until you vote to, and if you are not, our guidelines are not such where if it meets this is what you get. They are up to the 10 years is the maximum number of years you can have a tax abatement in Texas.
Yeah.
Of course, 100% is the max amount of taxes that can be abated. So, yes, if the court has discretion, what I'm trying to say is the court has discretion to do something less than 10 years at 100%, anything within that range, or to deny.
You know, the who we are as a county, as a people, the booming growth that we're having, all the things that are going on, where we've stood on our freedom issues, family, all that stuff, this company, I believe, would still come out ahead of, even if they went to those other places for less money, would still come out by just coming to Montgomery County. And I just was at a meeting with the guys over down in, with a group of guys that had to do with all what's going down in Harris County. People are spreading out away from that, coming here, all over the place. And so, again, I'd have to vote against this.
No, I kind of agree with that, and the fact that a quick clarification, Judge, we did not have anything to do with the increase in the appraised values. It's kind of a...
Oh, yes, thank you for clarifying that. That's exactly right, MCAD.
Done that, not the court, and I know what you
Well,
meant.
It's not a tax increase. It's an increase in values right now. So
right, but
we haven't done anything yet.
Well, no, it's not a tax increase, but it does increase a person's potential tax liability.
It does. But
yeah, no question.
And I think that you're right on the fact that this county is a great place to be. It's a great business friendly. My concept is also not only, you know, we don't have something similar for, you know, our mom and pop taxpayers, our homeowners.
Right.
We did pass a homestead exemption, thankfully, unlike some other entities that have not. But most importantly, I view this as an incentive. And when somebody already has bought the land and they're here, there's not much of an incentive.
It shouldn't with partners here.
It shouldn't be a reward to do this. It should be an incentive to come. And so I kind of agree. You know, I'm a no on this one also.
Well, I don't think you guys are in any way being discriminatory. You're certainly entitled to your opinion. But we it's okay to give them in the past to other people. And East County is just as entitled to something nice and to have things over there or other places are. And I think it's the right thing to do to support it.
All right. Any more discussion?
I think we need to defer it myself is what I think we need to do so we can study it some more. What I'd like to do.
Well, do we have a motion on the floor to accept it? Do we have a motion?
I'll move on it.
Okay, do we have a second? We have another second. The motion dies for lack of a second.
Can we defer it?
You can defer it.
Yeah.
For future discussion?
We can bring it back.
It dies for lack of a second, and what can happen is if you want to take it up at a future date, you just put it on the agenda.
Well,
it would have to be 30 days later.
We'd have to notice it.
You'd have to notice it again for 30 days out. So if you... You know, we'd have to put on the next agenda to notice it for 30 days after that. So, in other words, before you can take it up again, you've got to give a public notice of 30 days.
That gives us the time we need,
BD. We can do that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you, BD.
All right. All right. Moving forward.
All right. This next one, Commissioner 1, 3, Sheriff, Constable 3, and DA. This is an amalgamation of an issue that's been going on probably since I've been on this court, and there's no finger pointing whatsoever. I think it's just the size and scope of the operation is so big, and what we're talking about are the radio needs for Montgomery County for our first responders across the county and across the different entities, and those entities being the ESDs, the volunteer fire departments, the fire departments, the police departments, the sheriff's department, all of the constables agencies, the fire marshal, emergency management, dispatch. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on and on of different people. And then all of the different outside entities that do business or that are supporting us in Montgomery County through mutual aid and that we support through mutual aid, we need them all to be able to communicate with each other effectively and immediately. And the sheriff's office has traditionally been the service provider for all of the radio needs in Montgomery County, and it's gotten to a point to where they not only need more people to make this happen and to keep our first responders safe, so when we have a call, when one of you have a call, that it is responded to appropriately, but we need to really look at separating that into, and Commissioner Walker has some commentary on this as well, as far as how to break this out to where either the sheriff is going to be supporting his agency or his agency and the county law enforcement agency, and then another group would be supporting all of the non-law enforcement agencies in Montgomery County just to provide better support, to separate encrypted radios from non-encrypted radios, because that encryption key is really sacred. You don't want people to have access to that shouldn't. So there's a ton of different issues. And Commissioner Walker, stop me because I'm just kind of...
You're rambling?
Yeah.
Well, ever since I took office, there's been issues with the radios, which it's a big system. I mean, there's a lot of radios in Montgomery County, and as he said, outside agencies coming in. And the sheriff has his needs for his – he's got more radios probably than half the county out there. So the proposal, I guess, is for the sheriff and myself to sit down and kind of figure out how we can – cut this thing in two so he's happy with. I don't want to have anything to do with the sheriff's department radios at all. I mean, we're trying to take care of like our ESDs, our fire departments, all of the different ones, the agencies that that are having a tough time at times with getting radios programmed and those types of things. So I think the court if they would approve me kind of taking the lead on this side of it away from, we have to work through it and figure out what law enforcement and where we make this little bit of a division. We have a building we can set up to work on these other radios for the other side, outside of the law enforcement end of it. And I think we can do it. I know we can do it. I wouldn't have thought about it. And I've talked to different agencies, and I think we can work through this where we can all reach a good solution where we're not having these, experiencing these problems that we have had up to this point. And I think I've spoke with the sheriff, and he's in favor of this as long as we work together, and I'm pretty easy to work with, so I think we can work through this really, really simply, and it'd be seamless, I think.
The sheriff is in the loop, you know, essential.
Yeah.
But it's, and to talk about a timely situation with what just happened with the shootings and whatnot, we need to be on the same page.
Yes.
No question.
And there are some buildings that were brought into I talked about yesterday with someone about the radios, that some of these school buildings, it's probably like this building. It's really hard to get radio signals out of them. But there are things that the schools can do to improve this, as long as the schools will allow these companies to come in there and kind of give them options on what they can do. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of times telephones won't even work in some buildings efficiently. And in a situation where there's something horrible going down, these folks need to be able to talk to each other in the best manner they can. And that's what we're looking for in Montgomery County, is for if anything were to happen, we don't want to have and we probably would still have a blind spot somewhere. There's no way to completely fix it all, but I think we can fix this problem. It may take us a little while.
So you're proposing is that you work with the sheriff and you guys...
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the towers would stay with the sheriff.
That's correct. Yeah, that would be something we'd need to sit down at the table and talk about. Yeah.
So I guess a motion could be that we would have Commissioner Walker and the Commissioner Sheriff work on a division of the current radio system structure, and for Commissioner Walker to bring back a budget for this.
Sure.
The component of that.
Is that a motion?
Yes, sir.
I'll second that. Any more discussion?
So we don't know. We don't know who you haven't got as far as who's going to program these radios that you're taking over, who's going to be responsible.
We don't know all that yet. We're
going to bring all that back to us. Yeah. Leaving it alone until then.
Yeah, we've just started the preliminary. I talked to some people yesterday just trying to get our feet on the ground. And there is a company out there that will kind of come in and help you work through some of these things.
And part of the motion too would be the sheriff and I talked about even Motorola being a potential of able to provide those types of services for us for a fee instead of it being. I don't know if we'd lose too much control on that, which would be a real negative. But
you'd bring that information to us if that
absolutely.
Was the case. Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner Walker.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Human Resources, number 18A. Dodie.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Consider and approve extension of time for use by county employees of remaining balance of COVID sick leave until December 31st, 2022. If the employee has any remaining COVID sick leave as of June 30th, the employee will be able to use that leave until December 31st, 2022.
Move. Second.
We have a motion, second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
On item B, that was deferred by county judge in the open on number 12B2, so we're going to defer that payroll change.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it so much. All right. At this time, we're going to dismiss for executive
session. Before we do that, if I could.
Yeah.
Hey, Amanda, back on your budget item 13A, could you tell me how much money each one of these constables are going to be getting? Okay. That's it.
The sheriff's office, so it's the $75,000 that the DA's office is reallocating, $35,000 of it going to the sheriff's office, $15,000 going to Constable Precinct 3, $20,000 going to Constable Precinct 4, and $5,000 going to Constable Precinct 5. And part of that's related to how much they have left.
Okay.
All right. Anything else, Commissioner? All right. At this time, we're going to dismiss to executive session. The court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. Hang with us. We're going to go dismiss for a few moments. Thank you. So as we move forward in our final point here, it has to do with our citizens. So I'd like, what we want to do is we want to move forward. You're able to come to the microphone. Please, let me repeat this to you. We have a 3-minute limit. Identify yourself, what you're going to be talking about, and if you would just honor the time, and we'll keep a clock up here. So, yes, if you would please, come forward. Speaker, hold on, your speaker's not working. Is it on? No, it's not on.
That button. Thank you. Jennifer Eckhart, Precinct 2, Montgomery County.
Yes.
Just a couple things regarding financial management. I know we were talking about a tax abatement, and I think from a business perspective, I think a lot of taxpayers could understand maybe a 1 to at most 3-year abatement so that we could bring, if someone's bringing 100 jobs into the county, I think that does seem reasonable to help them get set up and offset expenses. But I think when we push it out to a 10-year, it basically becomes corporate welfare, and I don't think we agree with that in a conservative county. So just that note. And I think several taxpayers will agree with me that we have a lot of concerns over the last few county commissioners' court where our judges have come, our county clerk judges have come, needed personnel, and we can barely get a person to be paid at the appropriate amount, yet we have brand new, just recently hired administrative assistants working in the precinct offices making 80 grand, which is probably about 25,000 over what is normal for that position. So I think we need to do a better job of managing the money and making sure that people are paid appropriately. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comments. If you all would hold your applause until the end, please. Although we are enthusiastic with you. All right, is there someone else? Yes.
Good morning, Susan Scruggs. Just wanted to mention, I think Charlie Riley, Commissioner Riley, you are over ESD 10, is that correct?
No, ma'am, I appoint the board for ESD.
You appoint the board. Well, I just wanted to bring to your attention that some people have come before the board of ESD 10 several times and had asked for some type of homestead exemption to be given to the people in the ESD 10 district. 0% homestead exemption is being given at this time. And they said that they don't have the money, even though they have such a surplus of people moving into this area with additional revenues, et cetera. They said they just can't figure it out in their budget how they can give any amount of percentage for homestead exemption for the people in that area. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. If there's anything that you can do to help them with money management, budgeting, things like that, I think they definitely need some business sense about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Scruggs. Yes.
Good morning. I'm Deborah Ferris, and I wanted to bring a suggestion to you in reference to voter fraud. It has occurred to me that in our nursing homes, we have a lot of residents who are suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's, and which makes them not legally able to vote. You have to be mentally competent to be able to vote. Nursing homes always have a doctor on staff who would be able to make that determination as to who is or is not mentally competent to vote. And those residents that are considered incompetent should be removed from the voter logs, because employees other individuals who might be visiting in a nursing home could very easily request a mail-in ballot, but those individuals have it mailed off-site and then be voting for someone who's not competent to vote. And a couple of hundred votes would sway an election, you know, could very possibly. So I don't know whose job that would be, whether it would be the Election Central's job or, you know, maybe Jason's. Just kidding. But...
Let's give another job to Jason.
Anyway, so that would be my recommendation.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Yes.
I'll be brief. Good morning. I'm Cindy Phillips. About 8 of us went down to Austin yesterday morning around 6 o'clock. We left here, I think, about 5:30 in the morning and got home at 12:30 last night for the extensive hearings that took place for the Health and Human Services, the Senate hearings. And I would just encourage you, I will be sending you guys the link. I know it's a lot, but we'll try to pare it down for you. If you would have time to just listen to some of the testimonies that were given by the invited testimonies of stellar doctors, not just from our state, but from around the country who were giving their testimony about the pandemic response and how to move forward. And so this is all going to be, you know, leading toward the legislation that will start in January with the 88th legislation. And I believe that there are ramifications and ways that we can help from our, you know, the counties moving forward up. So I just would like to, you know, bring that to y'all's attention, and I'll work on getting that, some snippets together with that, and get some, cut that down for y'all so we can get it in bite size so you can see the highlights. And I would encourage you guys to take a look at that if you can. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. Is there anyone else? All right. If there is no one else, then I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Hold on, Judge. Under miscellaneous,
yeah.
I would like to bring up the idea of if the county doesn't receive the amount of rainfall that we are supposed to receive before Friday,
yeah.
I'd like us to have an emergency or a commissioner's court meeting on Friday to discuss a burn ban before the holiday weekend.
I spoke to Jimmy about this.
Yeah.
Jimmy's right back there.
Jimmy, come on up. Yeah, come on up, Jimmy.
Amy, don't let us go too far. We're talking
right,
about
we're just talking about whether or not to have a meeting.
Yeah.
Since it's not a noticed item.
Yeah.
And Jimmy can provide light on that, right?
Right. Should we have a meeting?
Yes. I mean, certainly we could. We're continuing to monitor every day, and I can advise you.
To keep us informed.
And keep you informed. And if we're at that point where we need a meeting, we've been giving you updates every Friday, and I can change those to a daily update and give you exact number of fires, size, things like that, so you can make that decision about whether to have a meeting.
And Amy,
thank you.
We plan a meeting and then cancel it?
It would be better to notice the meeting and then cancel the meeting. It wouldn't necessarily be an emergency if we knew about it now.
Okay, so we could. But we're planning on it.
Well, that's
so
we could notice. Government can't be prepared, right?
Right.
I mean, you can't
so
plan because
we could notice the meeting, and if it's not necessary, we could cancel the meeting. The purpose of a notice meeting is always to give people adequate notice if they have comments or things like that.
Then can we just plan for a meeting and
talk
then
to
we'll cancel
hold,
it
hold
if
on.
We don't need it?
Always declare disaster and avoid a meeting altogether, and it's only good for 7 days. It'll get us through the holidays at least.
Right. Again, we know about this right now.
Because a burn ban doesn't stop fireworks, by the way. So.
Well, and that would allow for fireworks to be stopped.
Fireworks are still permitted under a burn ban.
No, but under a
disaster declaration, they could be removed for 60 hours.
And then
the governor's office has to extend them.
With the burn ban, it's not, and I understand that we don't have that, we're not having as many fires as you know, maybe other people.
Yeah.
But if it continues to get dry, we don't do something, and we know people are going to be out there doing, you know, fireworks in this time, I don't want there to be one house burns down unnecessarily, much less, you know, a forest fire like we had the Tri-County fires a few years ago.
Well,
even
if we declare a
disaster, that means all fireworks everywhere are off, correct?
Well, We have options under disaster declaration. You could ban, and 2011 is the only time we ever did that, and we banned all ignition sources. So you couldn't do, for example, you know, anything outside that could cause a fire. It was that extreme. So you could limit it to just burning. You could limit it to, you know, but the common sense would be that you would want to do kind of a catch-all. I can tell you that from our office, most of the calls and concerns we get, they're talking about a burn ban, but really what they're wanting is a fireworks ban. And that's really what the gist of most of the conversations are about, really, is the moral concern is with the fireworks, which a burn ban would not affect.
Well, Jimmy, I got a phone call wanted to ban fires, and I was all for that if you could figure it out. Yeah.
Did Harris County declare a burn ban?
I believe they have it on the agenda today. Did they actually do it?
I don't think they're there yet on the part of the agenda. As you know, their meeting goes longer.
It's not midnight yet.
Yeah.
I will tell you that it's going to depend. They received a lot of rain in the western part of their county. We received a lot of rain in the last 48 hours, but in the north and the west, but not enough. Our East County's driest right now.
Jimmy, Amy's giving me the dirty look. So.
Yeah.
My recommendation is to notice a meeting and defer it or cancel it if it's not necessary.
Let's defer.
I can provide you daily updates till then.
That's fine. Let's just do it.
I move.
Second.
Any others?
Thank you.
I'll give you daily updates. Thank you.
Ms. Lynch. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it so much. Is there anything else?
Do you want to call for the meeting, or do you just want to do it under your order?
I'll do it. What do you guys want to do? I don't care. Pardon me?
If Jimmy makes a recommendation, we can knock it out.
We can declare it.
Yeah, that's fine. If you make the recommendation, we'll
do it.
But
Jimmy, I want you to be thinking a little bit more broadly than just about exactly what you typically look at. I mean, if there's not enough rain and it's dry and fireworks and then the whole public perception all needs to be weighed in, kind of.
Yes, sir. No problem. We'll take care of it.
We can keep fireworks, though. We want to keep this 4th of July.
Yes. All right.
That's right. In a controlled environment.
All right. Is there anything else in miscellaneous or anything else? Once again, do we have a motion to adjourn? I move we adjourn. Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
We all agree. Thank you all very much for being here. Have a great week.